Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Opapari, and this is the Songwriters on Process podcast. Since 2010, I've been interviewing songwriters about their writing process. And on this podcast, we go deep, deep, deep into the writing process, far deeper than the usual. Do you start with the lyrics or the music question? By way of background, I have a PhD in English literature, and I'm a prose writer myself. I'm not a songwriter. In fact, I've never written a song in my life. But my goal has always been to treat songwriters the same way that we treat prose writers and poets, just as writers, plain and simple, and I've always been interested in the writing process. This is an intelligent conversation between two writers. And on this podcast, like I said, we go deep into the process. We talk about rituals, the seeds of inspiration, the role of movement on the process, writer's block, the revision process, pens, pencils, types of paper, and of course, we talk about books. You can find all the archived interviews on the Songwriters on Podcast website and across all streaming platforms. And with that, let's dive into this week's episode. And today's guest is Grace Cummings. Cummings is based in Australia, and she has a fantastic album out April 5th on ATO Records called Ramona. She is touring with opening for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, she told me, for a tour starting in May. And I interviewed Stu McKenzie of King Gizzard a few years ago, and that is the most downloaded episode I have ever done. As an aside, the two most downloaded episodes I have are Stu McKenzie of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard and Grian Chatten of Fontaines DC. But so check those out when you get a chance. But back to Cummings. I loved this interview. She is hilarious. She's a great storyteller. There are some great stories in here, kind of unrelated to songwriting, that I hope you enjoy. But a few things about her process. She says she tries to sit down every day for 20 minutes in the morning and write, just not to necessarily, in her words, get a nugget of gold, but just to use her brain in a thoughtful and creative fashion. I've talked about this with other songwriters, the impact that phones, not social media necessarily, but phones have on creativity. If you're looking at your phone the whole time, you're not aware of the things around you. And she talks about the impact negatively that having a phone has had on her creative process and how she's trying to actually get away from holding her phone because she recognized that really, as I said, really having a negative impact on her creativity. I had Robin Hitchcock a few years ago as a guest, and he mentioned how social media has affected his songwriting, his creative process, because he spends so much time on social media. But what's interesting to me, at least, is Hitchcock is older, obviously, and so he was around at a time before phones were even in our hands. But you know, got me really thinking about people who are songwriters now who have only known what it's like to have phones, and they don't know what it's like not to have that distraction. Are they even aware that it's distracting them? I was thinking about that as Cummings, as we were talking, and regardless, she recognizes how it's really not been a good thing for her creativity. So we did talk about that. We talked about, I love her discussion of the voice memos, and I always love to discuss how songwriters organize their voice memos. And most of them have no sense of organization. They just put those voice memos of melodies or lyrics in their phones and then have to scramble back through them to find the one that they liked. Some of them have organizational techniques. I love Cummings' organizational technique, and that is labeling them excellent, very excellent. I don't know if we had a very, very excellent, but labeling them with adjectives, and that there's a kind of a hierarchy of superiority in the adjectives. So I love that discussion as well. So this was, I said, we had a lot of fun. And I think that comes through in the podcast. So again, Grace Cummings Grace Cummings album out April 5 on ATO Records. And with that, here's my interview with Grace Cummings. All right, let's get started. So do you like to create Do you write in some fashion every day, or are you a write when the mood strikes type of person?
You know what is really funny? I have my book in front of me here, and I've just written down today's date, and it's something that I used to do a long time ago, and I haven't done it in a long time, and that's sit down and write every single day. And it's the first thing that I do in the morning before I've looked at my phone or before I've listened to the news or anything like that. I've been putting on ABC Classic FM and listening to some music that can kind of let my mind be, you know, elastic. And I try and write for 20 minutes without stopping, and then I'll stop. So the answer to that question is I'm trying to do a lot of different things, this being one of them. And I think that the goal for me for a writing exercise like this, for instance, is not to get like a nugget of gold that I might use, but just use my brain in a way that is creative and thoughtful every day.
So what made you said, if I heard you correctly, you used to do it, but then you stopped, or what made you decide to start doing that?
I feel like my brain is not the way I want it to be. I think that the world at the moment has really got me in a hold. Things like social media and, you know, short attention spans and skim reading and just knowing everything about every horrible thing about the world, being worried about it all. It's kind of put my brain into, like I'm living in my own head a little bit, but it's like a state of anxiety or something like that. And I used to not be that way. And I used to kind of think in colors and see sounds and stuff like that. And I want to be that way again. I want to be thoughtful, all the time. And not just, you know, surviving the present. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny. I have a lot of responses to that. One is I interviewed Robin Hitchcock. This is a few years ago. And I think he is still the only person to this day who said, the only songwriter who talked about the toll that social media has on his reading and his writing. I mean, literally, because he's spending so much time on it, it limited the time he was doing to be creative. And I'm sure that's the case with a lot of people, but he said like, yeah, this is absolutely not just the emotional toll, but if I'm spending all that time on Twitter, whatever, like I'm not writing and I'm not reading thoughtful pieces, I'm just reading junk. And it certainly, so it sounds like that, did that impact that kind of social media exposure impact your creativity?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a while I was saying to myself, well, maybe I've got long COVID because, you know, my my memory wasn't great and I wasn't thinking it in as sharply. And that's fucking bullshit. I don't have long COVID. I've become more lazy. I am attached to this rectangle in my hand that doesn't serve me well at all, and it's full of rubbish. So yeah, totally. It's not like the coolest thing to admit that you go on social media, but everybody does, and it, you know, is kind of like drinking a tiny little bit of poison each time. So I'm trying not to do that much. And it also makes you, you know, compare yourself to other people where they're at, or where they're performing, where they're at. And that's not healthy for anyone either.
Yeah.
It doesn't it doesn't make for humility, you know?
Right. So I love the idea because I've heard other songwriters say this. They write for a certain amount of time. Some of them have actually topics they write about, or there's a prompt that they have. I forgot. There's some book they use where there's a prompt and they write about something every day. But are you
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple books out there that they actually, I forgot what they're called, but they actually use, and that gets, so it's something different every day. But it sounds like you're just kind of, are you just writing whatever comes to mind, or how do you, I mean, I guess I'd be worried that I'd sit down and I got nothing to write about. So is it easy for you to fill that 20 minutes?
Well, sometimes, like yesterday, what did I say? I couldn't think of anything. And then I said, what did I write here? There's a lot that can happen in 20 minutes. And then I just wrote a bunch of things that could happen in 20 minutes. You know, like, I don't, yeah, of course, sometimes I am blank in my head. A lot of the time I am. But then you have to pull a prompt out of that. Like, I guess I was sitting there thinking, I've got to sit here for 20 minutes. What else could happen in that amount of time? What could change?
It's very meta. Right. What?
Yeah, I love that. I guess so.
Really is. So the goal is not song ideas, right? But do you ever go back to those, or do those things ever prompt you for possible song ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I will just flick through a book of stuff that I've been writing, or I wrote, you know, a while ago, and just be kind of prompted, you know, not try to like use all the words in the story and of the day that was, but maybe there's a word in there that I liked, or a sentence or a sentiment or something like that, and it would spark some kind of creativity when I'm looking for some.
So I see, and I was going to ask you this at some point, but when it comes to lyrics, now we're talking about songwriting, are you a computer person or a pen and paper person when it comes to writing lyrics?
A pen and paper person.
I can tell by that, because the notebook, I love the decomposition notebook. I saw that title. That's amazing. So the next thing is, songwriters are incredibly particular about color of ink, brand of pen, even type of paper. So does that matter to you at all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like this book because it has birds on it. And I have my pen here that is not too inky, because if you're trying to write quickly, really inky pens suck. Yeah, I don't know. No, I'll scribble on anything. I don't really mind. Really good is lawyer pad, the yellow pad.
The legal pad. Yeah.
Legal pad. Yeah. That's really good.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's, I mean, my dad's a lawyer. He was always around. And I don't know. It's good because you can write whatever. You can rip the front off. You're not going to ruin your book. I don't know. It's spaced nicely. The yellow is, you know, like a fucking soft, warm lamp instead of a overhead high-vis light or something. Who knows?
So it's funny, because it was probably 8 years ago, I think, I interviewed James McMurtry, the singer-songwriter, and he used to have, back like one of the early iterations of the iPhone, the Notes app actually used to be yellow. It was actually yellow, like a legal pad. And he loved it. And when he changed it, he couldn't write it anymore, because he was like, why can't they bring back the yellow? I can't write on it when it's not yellow anymore.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying, you know, to me is, how precious do you treat the process, right? There are some people that say that don't treat it precious at all, and that lessens the pressure on you. I mean, some people that say they write lyrics on the back of napkins, envelopes, you know, receipts, because the less precious you treat it, the more, I guess, the easier it is to write.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? Do you think that does that make it easier to write if you treat the process, you know, like, it doesn't matter what you're writing on, I kind of hear that's what you're saying, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, I personally don't think it's a good idea to be really precious about that kind of stuff. I think it makes me feel like I'm taking myself too seriously, and there's just no room for that if you want to make something that has the potential to be, you know, beautiful or connect with somebody else, because you're taking yourself too fucking seriously. And, you know, you're not that important. And also, what you're talking about, the pressure kind of thing, sometimes I feel if I, you know, dedicate a morning or an afternoon, or I say to myself, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write something, it's going to be great, and I can't do it, the pressure of that and the failure that comes from not getting what I wanted to get makes me feel like crap. And it makes me feel like, you know, it was a fluke that I'd ever written anything before. It's never going to happen again. You know, that was just by chance. You can't do it. Your brain doesn't work that way. It's just silly, but it does work that way. Your brain does work creatively, just it doesn't work creatively on command.
Yeah. So you have those feelings of failure, you feel like it's not happening. Is the solution to that to kind of step away? Is it to push through and say, I've got to solve this? I mean, I guess that's a bigger question of like, when things aren't happening, I'm not going to call it writer's block, but, you know, rut. I mean, for prose writers, a prose writer would never say, when you have writer's block, keep on doing it. Most of them just say, take a walk, do something else. But as a songwriter, when that happens, what do you do?
I think it's kind of exactly the same as what you're saying about prose writers. It's not happening. You know, you're living in the world in your head, and that world isn't giving you anything. So go and experience a different kind of world. Walk outside, pick, you know, something out of your garden, go and, you know, be inspired by somebody else. Like, you know, see a film, read a book, listen to music. Just get out of that world that is governed by your own thoughts, because when you have that block, as you say, those thoughts are always going to be negative, and that, well, it is negative for me, and that's just not going to help you. So just get out of there, go for a swim.
Go for a swim. Is that what you said?
Yeah, go for a swim.
Okay, so that's I love that. I don't think no one's ever said that before. I mean, some songwriters I've heard they like to swim, but I've never said actually go for a swim. And they have. So is that something that it sounds like, because you said that's something that you will, that is a part of your process. Like if you, so do you do that? Is that a part of your process just when you're in a rut, or is that just a part of your process in general? I guess. I could ask you this also. How much does the role of movement play in your writing process? Whether it's walking, swimming, like.
Yeah. I think movement plays a role in. Sorry, I'm just trying to formulate my thoughts here. I think movement or swimming or walking or whatever plays a role for me more for my mental health than it does, you know, than having a direct link to making me be able to write. If it's a way that I take care of myself, not just by getting exercise, but like, you know, going for a swim, feeling your head go under the water and, you know, have water wash over you, or feel the air going past your skin when you're running or sweating while you're doing something, you know, it's like grounding or something like that. It gets you, again, as I've been talking about this whole freaking time, it gets you out of your head. And that helps me with my mental health. And if my mental health is good and clear and sharp, then I'll be able to write.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, and that's not, you're not alone in that. I mean, I think that there are people who get a lot of ideas when they're active, others like you that say that they use that as a time to kind of recharge, and they don't get ideas then, but it makes them much better when the ideas do come. Like the ideas come later because they've given themselves a break.
Yeah. And I think ideas do come in those moments because you're not focused on anything else but what you're doing. You know, you're walking, you're looking at the sky or the lorikeets flying past or the trees, or and you're just breathing and looking and moving. You're not focused on anything else. So that's like a prime fertile ground for thought, you know?
So can you write for long stretches? Like, can you sit for, I'm good for about an hour and I have to get up and walk around for 5 or 10 minutes, but can you physically sit for a long time and write?
My back would say no, but, you know, well, if I really am motivated, which as I kind of said before, is something that I'm struggling with at the moment. So I guess that's why I'm doing these kinds of exercises, like the 20 minutes or whatever. You know, I'll jack it up to 30 and 40 and try and do maybe a whole afternoon as well. I get very frustrated with myself very quickly. And if I can't come up with the idea that I know is there, you know, I get very frustrated and I just think it's not going to happen. I've got to go do something else. I've got to get up. I've got to go away and do something else. So I don't know. It depends what I'm writing. A song, probably not. I don't think I could ever sit there for an hour and write a song. I don't think I've ever done that. A story, I could maybe. Yeah, it depends.
A lot, I think, you know, for myself, I'm not a songwriter, I'm a prose writer, but I feel like, you know, for me at least, if I'm not feeling it, like, okay, so this space I'm in right here is where I do a lot of my work related stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah, but I can never, like in this chair, literally, like I'm doing Zoom calls, all that stuff. But because I've spent so much time doing this, I can't write in this chair anymore.
Sure.
You have to write in another room because I've associated this so much with a certain type of thing. And it was funny when I realized that. I don't know when it was, but I was like, what if I just go in another room? And that's all it took. Was just physically moving to another space, and it was like everything just flowed. But I've now associated this so much with like hours of, you know, work related things, and so I can't write here anymore.
Sometimes I just sit on the piano stool and like close the piano lid and use it as a table because that's kind of the same kind of thing, like an environmental factor or something like that, that makes your brain, like tricks your brain into being better.
Absolutely. I mean, I interviewed Philip Selway, the drummer of Radiohead, a couple of years ago, and he said that he still has to write on his drum stool. Like he's still, but I thought it was funny because he spends time on a drum stool all the time. But yet I said, do you have a favorite chair? He goes, yeah, my drum stool. It's the only place I can write.
I recently got a Telecaster and I've never played a telly before. And a friend of mine said the best thing about a Telecaster is you flip it over and it's just a table all the time. You never need something under your notepad ever again.
I love it. But when did you discover, like, I love these kind of quirks. This is what I think is so cool. But like, when did you discover that, you know, you can write your piano, you know, that it serves as a table. Like, was that just like a fluke? And you said, wow, I'm actually getting a lot done here. So I'm going to see if I'm going to return to that spot and do it there.
I think like on my piano stool right now, there are like three writing books on the stool. I just leave them there. because I kind of get a bit frantic. Like if I've got an idea at the piano, I've got to have them there. Otherwise I'll lose it or I'll get annoyed or I'll just, you know, whatever. I've lost my train of thought. But so I'm always kind of at the piano, and that's where my books are as well. So I guess if I have an idea, I won't give myself the time to move anywhere else. And it's always just at the piano. And then I just realized that I could just shut that or not right up here next to my chin and use it as a table, and it all just happens there. And then I leave it on the stool. I guess, I don't know, my body's like used to it now or something.
I love it. So do you have, the other thing I always like to ask songwriters about are the voice memos on the phone. So do you just have hundreds of voice memos on your phone, I would imagine. And is there any sense of organization to those voice memos at all?
Let's have a look. We've got song one needs work. John Lennon. Nothing, something. This is a good song. Garden song. This is a great song. Excellent piano. See, I've got to tell myself that they're good. Drop D needs harmonies. No, I don't know what any of this is. It's like...
But they're labeled.
They're labeled. If something's not labeled, like a lot of them aren't labeled, some of them are just like G, C, B minor, E. Like, I don't know what that is. Red Ferrari. I don't know what that means. What was I going to say? I need to write if it's good or not, because I'll forget. I'll have to go do something or leave the house or whatever. So I need to, like, be a fan of myself when it's in the voice memos. So I write things like, this is really good piano, Grace. So that I'll go, yeah, you know, Grace said that was really good. Let's go back. Let's listen to it. Otherwise, I don't think I'll return to it.
I love it. That's like self-motivation, like telling yourself, this is good. I should continue this.
This is my favorite. This is excellent.
Right, right. And then better than that is, this is very excellent. And then at some point, the superlative.
Because it needs to be like, no, I mean it. Come back and do it. But come back and finish it. It's very good. Yeah.
I will tell you this. You're further along than most songwriters. Most of them have nothing, and they're just frantically scrolling for that idea that they had. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, I've heard this recently. People use emojis, but they rank, like, if it has, there's a rank system. So if it's like a smiley face, it's better than some other emoji. If it's two smiley faces, it's better than, you have a system.
Wow.
And then, gosh, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, I interviewed Lauren Mayberry from Churches, and she has an Excel spreadsheet that all of her song ideas are on. And I'd never heard that before.
No, that's not, I don't know how to use Excel, so that can't work.
Yeah. but I'm fascinated by those responses, because everyone, so hundreds of voice memos, and most of them, like I said, you're farther along than 95% of them, because most of them have nothing and they have to go through and say, where is that thing? But I love that, though, kind of the self-confidence, kind of making yourself feel good. And this is, you know, better than this one.
Yeah,
it's a little pep talk. So you mentioned earlier you were up super early. So do you have a ritual at all? Like, do you try to maintain, in the perfect world, do you write in the morning, take a break? Like, is there any regular routine to the process for you?
This morning I woke up and... Oh, man, I can't believe I'm about to say this. What I like to do is sit, get up, get a coffee, sit in bed, listen to talkback radio and, like, text in. So I'll do that for a bit. I'll pretend to be different people and stuff on the talkback radio and have these different opinions about whatever they're talking about. And because it gives me entertainment. This morning they were talking about buskers on Bourke Street in the city, which is like, it's hard to get a busking spot there. You need to have a permit or whatever. And I pretended to be an old lady named Cheryl who thought that the busking was a disgrace.
Wait, so what is talkback radio? Is it
talkback radio is where you can have callers in. So it's just talking.
Okay.
And people call in and talk to you about whatever topic you're talking about. So yeah, that's what I did. They read it out. It was great. It gave me a laugh. And then I went and did some exercise, came back home, listened to some music, and went into my garden, and then kind of, yeah, came and sat with you.
So do you normally write in the morning, or does that after the 20 minutes, like when it comes to?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's the thing that I try and do in the morning, before I have been affected by other shit in the world. But I was thinking maybe I should do one, you know, in the morning when I've woken up, and one at the end of the day when I've experienced the day. That's my next goal, I think.
So yeah, and I've heard that too, right? Kind of like different parts. And I don't know, I only bring this up because, so you know, I'm not a songwriter, but I love these stories that songwriters tell me. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed Mary Timoney a couple of months ago, and she said that she writes, I love this, she writes in the morning, she sets it aside for the whole day, and then at night, at the end of the day, she's a different person than she was
morning,
because she's experienced things, and only then can she go back and edit her lyrics, because she has to be a different person when she edits. And I thought that was so mind-blowing that she has that, you know, that self-awareness, right?
Yeah, I think that's really great. And you are a different person at the end of the day. That's very true. You know what? I'm going to do it.
See?
Thank you.
I loved it. I thought that was the idea that she's, but funny thing, she says, at the end of the day, I almost always hate it and then I throw it away, but occasionally I don't. But she very specifically said, like, I am a different person and I need another editor to look at my writing, and the editor is me, just not what I was 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Right. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Very excellent.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very, 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 I think. That gets three berries.
Yeah.
So you mentioned water, and there was an article in the Washington Post newspaper here about how we get our best ideas in the shower, because we are engaged in an unconscious activity that requires no thought. And only then do creative ideas come, when we are not thinking about them, like when we're engaged in monotonous activities. So I hear you mentioned gardening, and I hear a lot of songwriters get ideas through gardening or that kind of some kind of activity that requires no conscious thought. So are those times fruitful for you for songwriting ideas?
Yeah, I think so. I think what is, you know, the common thread there is like a sensory experience, rather than a totally intellectual experience. You know, you're talking about feeling water on you or being in the dirt, in the sunshine, feeling, hearing birds, you know, that kind of thing. It's a sensory experience, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's important for me, at least, to be in the world, like in the actual world, not the community, not the social world, not anything, but the actual ground, sky, sun, you know, dirt. It's very important to me to belong to that world, because everybody does. I think we forget that.
Would you be an effective writer in an urban environment then, you know, like if you're sitting in the middle of a downtown of a city or walking around, would that be fruitful for you, or do you need that kind of pastoral, natural environment?
Yes, because it's not, I know I can always come back, you know, I can always come back to this. I mean, Australia is a place that is hard to leave sometimes for me. I love being other places. I love being in big cities like New York and London and stuff like that, but I couldn't live there. I need Australia. I need its nature. But I can hold on to it for a while and, take it with me. I don't think I need it all the time until I do.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more questions. So the first one is a two-parter. I love the new album. And I'm curious, this is a two-parter. What is there one song the easiest to write, like that, you know, just was one pass and that was it? And what was the song that was the hardest, the most frustrating to write, but you're glad that you finished it because of that?
Trying to think about what's on the record. I think the easiest song to write in terms of like time, as you're saying, is A Precious Thing. It came so quickly to me, though, because it was maybe the hardest song to write for me emotionally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was easy to get it out, but hard to accept that I was going to be that vulnerable and let people hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what am I proud of finishing?
Or just maybe the hardest one that you maybe wanted to give up on, you know, because it was a laborious process.
I honestly don't think that any of them really. I mean, a song that I had for a while and I didn't change until the very end was Something Going Round. I wrote that very quickly. When I was trapped inside my old flat when there were bushfires going on in Australia, and it was before COVID, and everyone was wearing masks, not for infection but for smoke, and there was a book of classic American folk songs on my piano, which kind of sparked an idea for me. And I wrote it very quickly that day. But then, you know, a couple of years passed. I hadn't even realized, you know, it was like a voice memo that I had and forgot to label excellent. And I went back to it and it had a different chorus, which I thought was just really, really fucking shit. And I loved every other part of the song, and it wasn't until I got to Topanga to record it. I just thought, you know, like I just put it off and I was just like, something's going to happen. You're going to just think of something and that's going to be it and it's going to work out. And I did think of something, and that's what the, I get, it's not really a chorus, but that's what the kind of refrain is. But it took me a while to get to that very, very simple line.
So are you less likely, because I think prose writers and songwriters talk about, some of them say that the things that come too quickly are the ones they trust the least. Like there has to be, in other words, like the lyrics or the words, those, the ones that happen the fastest, they don't trust those because they were too easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hear that sometimes. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I've heard songwriters tell me that too. But I've read writers like, I've actually got this quote here by H.L. Mencken, the writer, on my screen. He says, the value of writing seems to be in inverse proportion to the ease of writing. Whatever flows freely and bubblingly turns out to be sorry stuff a week later.
I don't know. Look, I think both sides are valid and important, but I wouldn't say that anything that comes easy to you is worthy of being thrown out.
Yeah.
I think that if something comes easy to you and you're in the moment, you feel that, then it's probably a very true and real thing. It's something that is unedited and unashamedly yourself. And I think that that's a really cool thing. Most of the time, yeah.
I agree. All right, last question.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, let's have at it. So I do find that songwriters are voracious readers. How much do you read? Who are your favorite authors? Is that an important part of your daily routine as well?
Yeah, I love to read. I read. I read a lot. I'm trying to read more, and put down, you know, the rectangle in my hand that we spoke about before. I read a lot. There's stuff that I go back to, like on my bedside table is, it used to be on my mum's bedside table forever when I was growing up, and it's called Wisdom from the Ancient Celtic World by John O'Donohue. And I love a lot of Celtic stuff, of Irish stuff, mythology. I love those stories. And I also, a couple of years ago, really, really got totally fascinated with an American author, Donald Barthelme. I don't know. He wrote a lot of short stories mainly. And I think maybe like two novels, but his short stories are incredible. And I love short stories. I think they're incredibly hard to write. A good one is amazing. And he kind of writes in this sort of fantastical, like magic realism almost kind of way. I like reading him. But at the moment, a lot of Irish authors.
Say that again.
A lot of poetry as well.
Oh, nice. I took one of my favorite classes I took in graduate school was contemporary Irish poetry. Right. And I loved it. It was great. I mean, like stuff after Yeats. I mean, not Yeats, but really the current stuff. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I wish songwriters read more poetry. I'll tell you that much. I can count on one hand the number of songwriters who actually read poetry. I don't understand that because I feel like, you know, there's some action, but wow, none of them do. It's very sad.
Yeah. I majored in creative writing when I was at university, and I wrote poetry a lot. It was one of my favorite things to do.
So are you a genre? I'm a genre person. Like my whole thing is when I read a novel, my first instinct isn't to read something else by that author. It's to read another author altogether because I want another voice in my head.
But you go by genre, you say.
Well, no, sorry. I'm confusing myself now. I'm not a genre person. I'm an... hold on. Okay. So, no, I don't think I'm even a genre... Now you've got me thinking about myself. I'm not even a genre person. I'm not an author person. So here's what I do. Okay, forget everything I just said. Here's what I do. Now I'm confusing myself. I read a book, I finish it, and then I literally go to like the New York Times or some newspaper and I look at book reviews and I say, okay, does this sound like something I'd like to read? So I'm not even a genre person. I don't know why I said that. I guess the important thing is I don't want to read something by that author again. I will not do that. But I don't think the genre matters as much as it is I need to read something else.
Yeah. I think that I will get a bit, not obsessed, infatuated or something with an author if I like something that they've written and their style. And chances are if I've read something that I like and I find something else they've written, I'm going to read that next because I've found it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to find it sometimes.
And that's it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget my book, Desolation, a Heavy Metal Memoir by Mark Morton with Benno Papari, that is me, comes out June 25th on Hachette Books. Mark is a good friend of mine. He is one of the guitarists in the band Lamb of God, and this is his memoir. It's a damn good book, if I do say so myself. But again, that book is out June 25th on Hachette Books. You can pre-order it now everywhere, your favorite online bookstore. So be sure to do that. The site, Songwriters on Podcast, contains all of the archived episodes of the podcast. Of course, you can find them on all streaming platforms as well, but they're also on the site. I only have had the podcast for about, I don't think even 2 years. Before that, all of the interviews were transcribed, and that took a lot of work, and that's why I started the podcast. So if you want to read the interviews that I did before the podcast, they are on Songwriters on Podcast as well. There are about 200 of them going back to 2010, so check those out. If you want to get a hold of me, ben@songwritersonprocess.com, or fill out a form on the website. I'm here for your questions, your complaints, your concerns, or your interview suggestions. I'd love getting those as well. So hit me up. I will try to respond. So that's it, everyone. Have a great day and see you next time.